Last week, I talked about some of the framework of what the community looks like in the kingdom of heaven. And so if you weren't here, you could listen to that MP3. I posted it in the email. In the end, I kind of surmised that when we look at the church, the body, the fellowship, we want to try to copy what Scripture indicates and prescribes, and said that the body of Christ was referenced in the Scripture in the New Testament in three different ways, all of them in a person, in different people. So you could think of it that we are referred to as brothers and sisters, that the relationship in the community is a family relationship, and that's people are part of a family. It's the body of Christ. When Jesus ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, but how was he physically going to accomplish things on the earth? Well, it was through his body, and so we are literally and physically the body of Christ. And an example I didn't get to last week, but is if you look at Saul when he goes out to persecute the Christians and he's going down the road and this light comes from heaven and blinds him and he falls to the ground and the voice from heaven says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Well, he'd never met Jesus face to face until that moment. But to Jesus, when he looks at his own body, when he looks at us as the members, he doesn't differentiate between the church and himself. He says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Saul was persecuting Christians. He was persecuting the church. And so for God, that is a very clear reality that the church is himself, that it's his body, his physical presence here on earth. Also, we look at a couple of scriptures that indicate that not only are we God's family, not only are we God's body, but then also we're the bride for Christ, the end of all things, that Christ will be joined again with his church. And talked about how that gives us an attitude of preparing most of the time, that when you're going to have a wedding, you spend time preparing for that. So those were all kind of like foundations. Those were kind of like theological, mental exercises, understandings, things like that. And today I want to talk in a way more practical way. How do we be this family of God? How do we be the body of Christ? How do we be the bride of Christ? And we want to try and get as practical as we can. And so it'll be a little different today, what I want to do. I want to focus on a couple of scriptures because the scripture is quite clear on the actions the church has that define it. It gives us quite a list, if we read the scripture, of instructions on how Christians behave, what they do, how they interact with each other. We can have a focus of those things and it will help us build and accomplish, I think, what Christ wants to do in the church. And so we want to look at Hebrews 10, verses 25. We're just going to look at this scripture and just kind of see what it says. Hebrews 10, 25. Just one little verse here. It says, "And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." And I want to look at this scripture and just take a moment and try to extrapolate a foundational principle of church life. So whoever the writer is of Hebrews, we don't really know who that is. It's been ascribed to Paul in the past, though that's probably not the case. It doesn't really matter. It could be that a woman wrote it. It could be that Apollos wrote it, or who knows. The book was written to the Hebrews who had become believers, the Jewish people who had become believers, that were spread out all over Rome. This book was instructions. They were returning to a lot of the Jewish practices. So it was an instruction on how, basically, that Christ was superior to all of those things. This passage is chapter 10 here. It's talking about Christ's sacrifice. The author goes in to talk about how in persecution and in suffering, we get to take part in Christ's sacrifice. So if we're persecuted, then that helps us to know him better, because he went through all this for us. So if we go through a little bit for him, then, you know, we know him better. We have a better understanding of him in our life. And he's there with us. So you look at the Beatitudes and it's, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted." So when we go through tough things, Christ is there and he gets a chance to do some of the things that he wouldn't have a chance to do if we didn't go through tough circumstances. One of the things that was happening, I was reading some of the accounts last night of the early church in 100, 200 AD, where they're being thrown to the lions and tortured to give up who else was a Christian and all that, being persecuted by the government of Rome for merely being a Christian. And what happens, that's kind of the backdrop to this verse where the writer says, let us not neglect meeting together as some people do. They originally started where they're meeting every day, they're meeting in homes, they met at the temple. When the persecution came, they ran out of Jerusalem to get away from that, but they still continued to meet. And then as they met, then somebody would be captured and tortured until they gave up who else was in that house with you. And so some people began to value their safety over the body of Christ. And so they would not show up. They chose to be afraid that they might be outed as a Christian, and so they didn't want to meet with other Christians. So when he says, or he, she says, or whoever says, let's not neglect meeting together, that's the framework. That they're saying, don't be afraid to meet together. Don't give it up. There is a principle in our meeting together here. Let's not neglect meeting together as some are due, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is near. And we look at the word but. But is a oppositional marker in a sentence. So if I say, Greg is not cool, but he's lame. That's not very nice. The idea is that the but will always tell us the opposite of the thing that came before it. It's an oppositional statement. So this author is saying, don't neglect meeting together, but, so the opposite of not meeting together, but encourage one another. And that's kind of the principle that I want to try to set and throw some understanding on of one of the greatest reasons that we meet together, and that is encouragement. Because the opposite of not meeting is not meeting, but it's to be built up. It's to encourage one another. And that idea means that even just showing up and coming through my door this morning is an encouragement to everyone else who's here. But also more than that, the things that we want to share, the prayer requests, praying for each other, seeing God work, talking about how God is working, it all comes down to this idea of encouragement. And so we look at that and we say, okay, what we understand through this one scripture is that one of the lifebloods of the body life of meeting together is to build each other up, is to encourage each other. When we come together, it should be a time that encourages. And so I keep using this word encourage, 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 but what does that word mean? I think a lot of times we think, oh, it makes me feel good. I'm encouraged. I feel good. Literally, it means something a little bit different. It means to inspire with courage. That's like the dictionary definition. It means that seeing what's going on here, seeing what's going on in other people's lives, we look at that and we say, I want that in my life too. I'm going to do the things that's going to get that in my life. And you get inspired. Years ago, in the Olympics in, what was it, 92, when Carrie Strug had her leg hurt, and she went and she jumped off the pole vault and landed on one leg and got him just enough points to win the gold. And that was inspiring, right? All these kids started doing gymnastics. They saw her example and said, I'm going to do that, right? She inspired all these people because of this heroic act of being on a team. She gets all the credit, but Bella Caroli was the coach, and he had that thick Russian accent. You can do it! You know, and that kind of became a thing in skits for ages, you know. You can do it! Because that's what he said in the interview. That also became like an inspiration for so many things. People saw that, and they wanted to copy the behavior. When we bring that back to the fellowship, we say this is about encouragement, and encouragement is inspiring courage. In the framework of the scripture, they're being persecuted and killed. In our daily life, it's the courage to seek after Christ, the courage to do the things of body life. And you inspire it by being here with other people that are trying to do that. And so we can inspire each other, that I look at Alan and something that he did, and it inspires me to try and do the same thing, or to try to accomplish the same goal. And that's a huge part of it, the body life. So we inspire with courage. It takes courage. It takes courage. There are all these things that are part of the walk in one way or another that they're difficult for us to take the action. They're difficult. They're stress. They're something that we don't naturally do. And things that we don't naturally do, they take courage. And I remember when I was in Malta and it went cliff diving off this cliff, and it was like 60 feet above the water into the Mediterranean. And I'd never done that before. But everybody else was doing it. I'd never done that before, so it made me afraid. But then I see all these other kids doing it, I'm like, well, everybody else is doing it. I don't want to stand here like the chicken. And it inspired me to leap off a cliff. It takes courage because there will always be things that we're not used to doing, things that are not a normal part of our life that in the body of Christ we take part in. So it could be praying for a stranger, or it could be sharing scripture with people that you don't normally do that with, or praying for somebody to be healed, even somebody that you've known a long time, but that's not something that's been in your life, and that's hard for you to do because, you know, you want to see the example first. You want to follow that, be inspired with courage to do the things and live the way that Christ wants us to live. So another way to think about it is it's a stimulate by assistance. That's another definition of encourage. Not only is it that I'm just going to passively look, but sometimes encouraging each other means taking somebody by the hand and walking with them, to physically drag them into whatever that situation is, to give them assistance. You know, an example would be somebody in a wheelchair that needs to push up a ramp. You know, you have to physically give them assistance, and both of you arrive at the destination. So that's the idea. That's what a lot of our body life should look like. Meeting together with other believers should be the inspiration through seeing the things that God is doing in their life and the things that they're struggling with. Not just the things that God's doing, but somebody's really struggling with a sin and they're open with that. You may be struggling with the same sin, but never want to talk about it. Somebody else will want to talk about it, and you're willing to start dealing with it yourself. That's one way. I think, you know, for me, one of the big encouragements is how much all of the ministry that I've done in India has been supported by people from Fellowship Life, whether financially or just the words of encouragement or praying with me when we get ready or providing a way to get glasses, you know, through the hardware at that time. There's all of these ways that people help push that ministry forward as a group. And that's another part of it, that as we take out on different parts of ministry, different things that God's wanting to do, that we all encourage and push people towards the things that God is calling them to do. What we see is that there are a couple of parts that Christ has done to help us do those things. One is that he's given us spiritual gifts, that the scripture lists several. I don't think the list is exhaustive because the list is not the same any time that it's listed. So Paul was obviously speaking to his audience and gifts that he knew that they had, or gifts that he knew that they needed, but there could have been more than what he just listed. But there are several places: Ephesians 4:11, 1 Peter 4:10 and 11, Romans 12:3 through 8, 1 Corinthians 12:7 through 31. All those passages and more talk about the spiritual gifts. And that's a part of it. So he's equipped us to encourage each other using those spiritual gifts. And one of the things to realize, a lot of times we look at the spiritual gifts and think, oh, I get to be the prophet. You know, I get to see the future and tell everybody. And we take the attitude of I, and we're misusing the gift, because the scripture is very clear that every gift is intended to build up the body, to encourage the body. That those gifts are on display, again, to show us more of Christ, to show us a way to move forward with Christ. And so they are always about the body life, about encouraging and building up the body life. If it's healing or teaching or whatever it is, hospitality is one. So there's a big list, and we're not going to really jump into that. We can look at that at some time in the future. I think a lot of times what happens, you can get focused on gifts, and then everybody wants to get a label on their gift, and then they cut off the rest of anything else that could happen. Well, I'm the teacher, so I don't have to show mercy. Well, you know what? That's not true. You know, I'm the teacher. I don't need to go on any mission trips. I don't need to be an evangelist because my gift is teaching. So I don't like to talk about them, because people tend to get their label, and they get some pillows and a nice cup of tea, and they sit there with their label, and they get really comfortable in that. And they don't use it to build up the church, but they just use it to have an excuse to ignore church life, to whatever. And that's what I've seen more often than not. And so that's why I don't like talk about it. Not that we can't, but those gifts are explicitly for building up and encouraging the church. And they're not meant to divide us. So all the mercy gifts sit over here, and all of you prophet people sit over here. That's not the point. But the point is to have a wide and beautiful picture of Christ and all those parts that were part of him. We look at those gifts and we can see every single spiritual gift as something in the real life of Christ, as being represented. Those gifts are a little bit of his divinity that he's poured into our lives, meant to be used in his body to build it up, to make it stronger. the gifts are nice, and obviously those are things the Lord has given us. But again, how is that? Let's get practical. So the way that we're going to get practical is we're going to talk about the one another's of Scripture. They're all in the New Testament, and what it is the writer will be speaking to his audience and will give an instruction. Somewhere in that instruction, it says to one another, with each other. The idea of one another or each other, that term confines it to the life in the body. Each other, other members of the church, other members of your fellowship. An example, bear each other's burden. So that is an instruction and a practical thing to say, how do we live out a life of Christ in the church? Well, it's in these each other. So there's quite a few, 76 or I forget exact number, but 70 something one another's or each other's in Scripture. These are instructions on how we interact with each other, and they tend to be very practical. Instead of me continuing on today, I've printed off a list here of all of the one another's. So the one another is on this column. The next one is a scripture or scriptures where you find that instruction. So what I want to do is, I've never done things this way, but we're going to try it, is we're going to pass out the list here and everybody can take one. And what I want you to do is you're going to pick one that maybe catches your attention. You can look up the scripture, and then we're going to go around the room and each one will share the one that stood out to them. And then if we need to discuss it, or if there's something to discuss about it, or maybe you pick one and then you're like, I really don't understand what this means, then we can talk about it that way. And so we won't get through all of them, but we can pick a few as just by that example of you pick one, and then we'll go around the room and discuss it. And so we'll take a couple of minutes for you to choose one, and you can look up some scripture and go from there.